I can't wait. Like, it's like when I've had enough, I'm like, I gotta go podcast with Pat because it just, you center me, man.
Nice. Hell yeah. I like, yeah. You know why? Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, yeah. But I think it's because we talk it out.
We do talk it out. I mean? You're like my therapist.
Oh, that's scary.
No, no.
That's a bad sign.
Like, I walk in your house and I'm all fucking fired up, and then by the time we get ready to, like,
I see
roll.
It too.
Yeah. You can tell that I'm not in a great mood or something went wrong, and then by the time we're getting ready to record, I'm...
I appreciate you saying that because I feel like you can't truly get to the root of what you want to talk about unless you have a clear path.
I think that's a good way to put
it. You have to, like... and
you got
to
move all the other stuff out of the way, right?
Jeff, and usually my technique is I rub one out.
Yeah.
You know how people do that before a date? They're like, oh, you want to clear your head?
Hey, listen, I can't agree with you more on this one, Pat. And I'll tell you, because it's a renewable resource.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
It never ends. Clear the path. So
clear the path, and we can have great conversation and solve other problems.
So now you know the pre-show ritual is either Jeff comes in a bad mood, and I either have to talk it or have to jerk it out of
him. And I feel better either way. We did not do an episode. Not that you people were really, like, dying
there's
for it.
There's not a lot of clamoring, but there's some clamoring.
But there's some clamoring. There's some clamoring. Yeah. And we just got back from competition.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a lot to talk about there.
Lots to talk about.
But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, in recent times, Pat, pissed yourself?
Well, Jeff.
Funny you should mention it.
It's almost like my... version of a monthly.
You know, so this happens at least once a month.
It's almost around the same time of month because I just don't trust my body, Jeff. I don't know what it is. I mean, if you're referring to pissing my pants, I've done that plenty of times. But also, I've pissed on, I've pissed near, I've far, wherever you are, Jeff.
We got in this conversation
at
the gym the other morning. In which we're, like, making reference to emergency bathroom needs.
Yes.
Do you think this is the result of? Is this just poor planning on our part?
Yes.
Or, okay.
With me, I think I have a small bladder. Personally.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. And what makes you think that your bladder is smaller than the average person?
The amount of times that the shocked face that I get a lot of times when I do tell somebody the frequency in which I piss myself. Like, I've said it so many times where somebody's like, really? like you, even you, like, going, like, I said, like, I had just, the most recent one was, like, the day before. And you were like, really?
To be fair, you didn't piss yourself. You pissed on yourself.
So, yeah, it was a situation where this for sure was poor planning.
Yeah.
This was me. There's
bad
a,
aim.
The bad aim for sure. Yeah. Well, that was it was an awkward angle. I'll explain.
Let me explain.
Once a week, I work for a friend of mine. Let's just say
not
whoever
anymore.
It may be. Yeah. I've notified him of this, but I work. So I usually it's a lot of driving, especially at the beginning and the end of the day.
Right.
So one of the stops that I make is out in the middle of nowhere. Like this, it's this farm, and every once in a while there's a gas station about 30. It's like kind of on the top of this mountain.
Right.
So at the bottom of the mountain, or like closer to the bottom, there's a gas station on my way up.
Okay.
And I'm like, and every time I'm like, I always do like a bladder check. I also you're like, nope, still good. About half full. But depending on how many cups of coffee I've had that day, how hydrated I am.
Sure, yeah.
Because I don't eat. So it's all just liquids in my body.
Right, right.
So, or it's going in and out.
Right.
I go up the mountain and I go, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need the gas station today. I'm gonna get gas on the way back.
Right.
I'm going to have to piss on the way back.
And sometimes it's just an inconvenience. Yeah. You're like, you're on a schedule. You're trying to make your way up there, and you don't want to stop.
Just want to go up there. I'm hoping. I have no idea how much exactly how much work I have at the top of the mountain, but I also want to know, like, I want to know that I can make it back here. Also, there's like a there's a point of pride. This is the one last hill that my ego has chosen to die on.
Okay, yeah.
Jeff,
yeah,
this is in fact...
And has died several times, apparently.
So many times. Like a bloody pissy death.
Wait, so, there's blood in
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No. So I'm like, there's like a point of pride of almost like a muscle. Of like, I'm getting stronger every day.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you getting stronger?
Why is my bladder...
So I'm like, all right, I should be fine. I don't have to piss that bad. So I'm like, but I've made this mistake many times coming down that mountain going... Or like going like, yeah. even if you have to piss, even just a little bit, just stop. Just
no, don't do it. Wait. Let me ask. Can you like just let some out and not like?
No. I'm saying if even on the way up, even if it's only a little bit, like yeah. Oh, I don't have to piss that bad. If you have to piss.
Oh, you mean like if it's just like if it even yeah. pops
next
into
time,
your head
next time, Pat,
you're stopping and going to the bathroom.
Right. Don't forget.
Right. So do you have a routine when you're like when it's like desperation mode?
Oh yeah. It's a lot of times and usually it involves somewhat pissing one stripe on my door. On the way out, like a lightsaber slash. So
you're at the top of this mountain.
Like, it's a lot of this. It's a lot of getting everything ready before, like, so I can be like, whoa.
That's why when do you like when you're like finally gonna reach the destination which you can urinate?
Yeah.
Like, is it like
it's like it's
full
getting,
blown like
it's as little work as possible. It's yeah. like I can just make it as easy. Just jump out and piss.
Yeah,
if possible. So if I have groceries, they're all at the top of the stairs or the bottom of the stairs. The front door is open. The cats are like looking at the door like, what the fuck is going on here?
But you've got like, yeah, and it gets worse the closer you get to the bathroom.
Yeah. And like when I'm getting my keys out, it's like a fucking horror movie. I'm just like, oh, God. So I get to the top of the mountain. Still, by the way, I'm parking. I'm like, like, still fine. Everything. It's like a horror movie. It really is. Yeah. Like it just like it's lurking right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's almost like as soon as I get up and out from the prawn position of like driving, like standing up, it's like it all whooshes down. And I was just like, okay. So now I'm just like, now I'm doing that like kind of like Oompa Loompa walk. Yeah. Like I'm just like, hurry. Like, and always halfway through that, I'm like, where?
Yeah, you know full well you're not going to make it back down the mountain.
Only like seconds before, I'm like, it's going to happen. Where's it going to happen? Where's it going to happen? So I'm in a friend of mine's truck. So I open
the
up
work
the doors.
Truck.
Yeah, the work truck. I open up, it's a four-door, luckily. I open up the two passenger side doors, and I start acting like I'm looking for something. Like, I mean, nobody's around, but just in case somebody's around, you know, this is a place where like nobody could be out there, or there could be somebody working right there and you just don't notice them because they just blend in.
Sure.
You know, yeah. So I'm trying to like, I take everything out and I'm like bent over like, oh, I'm looking around, but I'm just going right here. So little visual, very little for anybody to see. My back is to the only exposed part. I'm not pissing in the truck. That was a big thing that I
was making
sure
of. That was important. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and I bent over one way, and I go, bam, and I just go, blush, this big Rorschach stain, classic piss stain, by the way, too. It doesn't, it's unmistakable.
Like, this was not coffee.
Nothing else, yeah.
Right.
It's not top of the lap, it's not, oh, that kind of, oh, would you piss yourself, ha, 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 ha.
Right,
we all
right.
know you didn't. No,
right.
this is oh,
straight
wow.
up you pissed yourself.
You have a small dick, and you pissed yourself. So, I was like, at that point, I was like, oh, well, now just make sure you don't make it bigger. Finish up. You know, and then try to pull my shirt down, like kind of do the thing where you're like, your shirt down.
Did you still have to?
I had to work the rest of the day.
I said, did you still have to accomplish like a work
all day.
Task?
That was the beginning of my day. That was after class, but that was like not, that was like maybe an hour after I left class. And I don't get off till like 3. Actually, that day I even had to stay late. So luckily, again, it was plenty hydrated, so it didn't stink like coffee. And then the rest of the day was basically me going like, yeah, I spilled some water. And I told Dom, I stopped by Dom's work on the way there, and I was like, that's where I usually get coffee on the way back.
Because you needed more coffee.
I needed more coffee because I'm like, this is a rough day so far. Yeah. Had to go through drive-thru because the stain still wasn't dry at the time.
Yeah.
So I texted her saying, hey, stop by to see you, but I pissed on my pants. I'll explain later. Bye. So, yes, Jeff, that is the most recent time I've pissed my pants.
Yeah, it was like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get the, and it's, I've, you know, I've done many, I've soiled myself this year way too many times. I don't know about you. What about you?
I think that'll definitely be a podcast for a future.
Oh yeah, that's yeah, like I said, that could be that could be its own show.
Yeah.
But what about what about you?
Like urinating myself?
Yeah. Do you ever do you do it where? Let's say this. Do you ever do it when you're not like fucked up? That's my thing. Is I'm almost always stone cold sober when I do it.
Oh, for sure. Like no, I mean I'm like if I'm drinking a lot, like I'm a frequent urinator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so,
that's
like
break the seal.
Yeah.
It's over.
I'm going to the bathroom. Right. As soon as you break, I know that's like a wives' tale, but it works for me. If I go to the bathroom once, like I go like every 15 minutes minutes or so. But no, like, and it's been a long time, but I used to have to drive a lot. And in that time period, there were so many occasions in which I was like, why is this happening to me?
Why me?
Yeah. Like how many times do I have to go to the bathroom and still be able to make this drive? And it's
and you still don't time it right. Like that's the thing. It's like I'm very much in a routine with a lot of the things that I do. Like how can you like do this drive all the time?
Yeah.
Half of the time or 30% of the time I'm like
pissing
on my pants in the middle of nowhere. You know
Listen,
what I mean?
I have one in particular in which like it involved like picking up my child, and she was very, very small at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so she had fallen asleep in the back seat. Okay. And the drive that I had to make at the time was, you know, I want to say approximately 2 hours.
Okay.
So the problem with this is that like she was so young at the time and she had fallen asleep in the car seat, and I couldn't leave her in the car.
Right.
Okay, so
obviously,
I couldn't stop at a gas station and leave her in the car. And so I didn't want to wake her up and take her out of the car, right? So I was just like, dude, we've got to make it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
we've just got to make it home. We can do this. I'm driving. I am so close to home. I mean, I am less than a mile away from my house, and it is on. Like, there is no way that I'm stopping this.
Yeah.
It's, like, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, my abdomen hurts. Like, I'm doing damage in there by holding this.
Yeah. That's when I hate those, when you're like, am I making kidney stones? Is there something happening right
now? I'm seriously killing myself, right? So, like, I get as close as I possibly get to the house. Lucky for me, there was a Jewish community center right by my house with an open parking lot. There is no anti-Semitism in this statement. It just happened to be that this was an open parking lot at 9 o'clock at night on the way home, or 8 o'clock at night, or whatever it was. It was in the wintertime, so it was dark already.
Okay.
And it was so bad that like when I stopped, I didn't pull into a spot, right? I just stopped in the middle of the parking lot, unbuckled my seatbelt, opened the door, and as you said, like I'm unbuckling my pants, I fall to my knees. I'm on my knees in the middle of the parking lot of the Jewish community center, and I just take a piss.
Yeah, yeah, and you're just like, ah. Oh. But see, again, at the right angle, that looks like, you know, how I was like trying to look for something.
Yeah.
That looks like you just found salvation. You're just like, oh my God, praise God, and tell me that's not God. Like, tell me that's not, at that point, just say, that can't be at least viewed a little bit as a miracle. That you are finding someplace safely to stop to piss.
Yeah, I would say that no, it was a parking lot that I found. Like, look, if there was a miracle involved, the piss would have just went away.
No, it's a miracle that the cop didn't come over with a flashlight and go, mister, what are you doing there? And
I will say
why
this.
Are you doing that in front of a minor?
Like, right.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. And what makes it worse is that I don't know if you noticed this, but in these sets of circumstances, like you just don't stop pissing.
No, you can't.
You're just
physically
going.
Physically cannot stop.
And you're just going and going. Like more than you, like you're like going so much, you're like, I might actually be dehydrated after this.
I've had it so much that where the time where I had to do it on the side of the road. If you, I can't share all of them here. We'll be here all fucking day. But there's the one where I was on the frozen highway and I had 90 ounces of piss in me. Like, no lie, I measured it. It was 90 ounces of piss. That's too much.
That's too much.
That was too much. I was not prepared for that road trip. It was too early to have that much.
Yeah. What did you do?
But
you're a very hydrated person.
I've had that sensation where I know I know my breaking point. I can see my breaking point on the horizon.
Yeah.
And I know the feeling, the helpless feeling. Of not you say not being able to stop pissing,
of not being able to stop it, like, going. Like, right. Like go, like, it's just happening now. if just even, just a little leak in the dam, and then it just, boom, the floodgates. And no matter what position my penis is in, I have lost all control of my body. You know what I mean? Like, what are arms anymore? What are fingers? What can I even do? I can't do except for just aim what my body has decided to do.
Okay.
It's like projectile pissing. Like that feeling where you can't help but throw up. I've had that.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's where you get the lightsaber slash in the door or the knees on the ground. Like you on your knees like, Yeah, so if you have a fun piss story, please
At babymermaidproductions@gmail.com.
Yeah, or either instant message either one of us or just email.
Because we got some good neighbor stories. Yeah. So we should get some good I piss my pants stories.
Oh my god,
you just got back from comp, man.
I did. Yeah, I don't know if you can still see it a little bit on my face, but it's pretty much mostly healed.
Yeah, you got a good gee burn on your right eye.
Yeah, that was that was the worst one I've ever had. Actually.
Yeah, it was easily the worst one.
Yeah, it hurt like the how bad it hurt after the fact, but I thought it looked pretty cool.
Yeah,
didn't keep me from rolling either.
No, it didn't. You competed in your gee division,
mm-hmm.
and no gee for the day.
Yes,
and. Congrats, man. You took third in Nogi.
I did. Yeah. It was a long day. I learned a lot. It was a lot of cool. I got to compete with a lot of some of the other 6AM crew.
Represent, man. Like, guys, I'm super proud of you guys for going out there and fighting like that. It was awesome. Yeah, it was good to see.
I almost felt like a tourist.
In what way?
Like, in the sense that when I got there, I was like, oh, cool. It wasn't like, oh, that's where I need to go. That's my position. It was like, I just thought, I was like, oh, cool, shirts. Yeah. It felt more like I was at an event that was happening rather than taking place in the event.
Right, right.
And not in a way, I didn't feel like, oh, so disconnected. Or, I'm not in that world fully yet.
Yeah.
I don't feel like... So I was.
So you do feel like a tourist.
Yeah, I felt like a tourist. But I did feel at the end of it, man, I was so incredibly proud with the day that I had.
Sure.
Even though it was the longest fucking day.
Sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's definitely in retrospect. So it can be a very long day. I mean, we've had, and it depends on how many people sign up for the event and so forth, but we'll have competitions that go into the night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what were your thoughts? Stanley.
Hey, Stan.
Does Stanley have something he wants to say about this?
You got something to say, buddy?
Meow.
Your thoughts on competition, I know for Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners in particular, and it depends on the academy, there's some places are competition focused specifically. Mm. Most academies are a hybrid of you have your competition minded or competition focused students, and then you have your casual competitors, and then you have people that don't compete at all.
Right.
From your experience, because you've had a couple now at this point. This wasn't your first comp.
No.
It was your first comp at Blue Belt, though.
Yes,
so congratulations on that.
One at White Belt, one at Blue Belt so far.
Okay.
And from those two times, it's changed a lot.
Okay, so so you've had two competitions. And so, would you recommend competition?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
why?
Yeah. This is, so in my opinion, Jeff, I feel like any kind of martial arts competition is the actual only art competition that I think is truly truly of real value. Like, the only one you can truly actually measure in a competition. Because every other kind of art form is subjective. This is an art form where you can literally take your skills and strengths and expertise and put them up against another person in that of a comparable skill level.
Right.
So, at least whether it be time-wise, skill-wise, whatever it may be, you're somewhat... But I think...
Are you telling me that my two gold keys in Scholastic Arts in high school are worthless?
I'm not saying they're worthless.
I got two of them.
Well, that's cool, because, two of stuff is really important, Jeff. Wait, what did you say they were?
Scholastic Arts, man. You don't know the Scholastic Arts Awards?
Mm.
Man, these are national awards, bro.
Oh.
Actually, you know what's funny about that? Is that my art teacher always said too, like, exactly what you just said is actually is subjective. Is that if you did not win an art award, like if you won an art award, awesome. Yeah. If you didn't, it's just that judge that day did like somebody else's work better.
It's not that you're, it's not, it has nothing to do with your art. Like in my sense, like the way that I put my art out there,
right,
it was not good enough to be better than their art. And like, it was just, and it's not that I have bad art. It's not that, like, it's nothing like that. Like other art competitions, when you're at the end of it, if you get last place or you get whatever it may be,
right,
you're going to be like, oh, fucking, I suck. Yeah. Or whatever. Like,
are we talking about competition now?
No. I'm saying like in like a regular art competition, okay. But in a martial arts competition, I feel like you're still able to get, you're able to take something from that besides just feeling like, oh, I wasn't as good enough.
Sure.
I just don't believe in like a painting competition. Unless you're talking about techniques. And
sure.
Stuff, you know?
Right. Because it's super subjective. But you're coming from a position where like you suffered a loss.
Yeah.
And what did that do to you in your head? Like, you go out and you start the day and you get an L, right?
Yeah.
Now, this particular tournament was not a single elimination. It was a round robin. So it guaranteed you at least three matches.
Right.
And so how do you handle the loss end of things?
I kind of the same way I do in, like, class. It's almost the same as you take something from the loss.
Right.
And you learn, like, I lost because I didn't do something correctly.
Right.
Whatever it may be. I know that I know what to do, but I must have missed something. It's about identifying that thing that I lost. Identifying why I lost.
Right.
Not going like, because, and it's not just because I know that I have another match in like a couple minutes. It's not, I have that mindset anyway. How did that happen?
Right.
And if I don't see, it's a lot easier to have you or a classmate or somebody like that to be like, you know, what did I miss? Like, oh, you didn't trap this. Or you put your arm out there.
Sure.
You did something like,
sure.
Because you have those stupid or bad habits, you know, silly habits that you do a million times and people tell you a million times, don't do them.
Yeah.
And you never, you know, it's
and
like,
then,
one of those
right.
But I felt personally, because I ended up at the end of the day, I think I ended up having six matches total.
Yep. Right.
And at the end of the day, I was like, I felt like every match I got better.
Yeah.
And every match that I got better, I felt like the person I was going up against kind of was like, what, not every time, but by the last match I had, I was like, that guy's gassed. And I'm like,
yeah. Like, I will say this, you know? That like we did, like we suffered some losses as far as the 6 a.m. crew that went to fight. But one of the things that I was super impressed with was your conditioning. Everybody's conditioning was on point. Mm-hmm. Which told me that, like, that's not the issue, right?
Right.
It seemed to me that, like, the biggest issue was just recognizing, like, getting over the idea that you're in competition and remembering that you actually know jiu-jitsu.
No. Yeah.
And as soon as you guys did,
like a tourist,
right, exactly. That's why I asked you, because we had talked about this before, and I liked your perspective on this, is that I found that as soon as you're able to recognize that you're not a tourist here, that you belong here, you guys fought like hell and won. You were unstoppable. That was awesome.
And it wasn't that we were just pumping each other up. Like,
no, there was none of that.
Legitimately, like, that's the thing. It's like, you, like, look, like, after the first match, I felt like, I was like, I started to kind of feel a little bit disappointed, but I was like, wait, like, no, just don't do that again. Like, go, all right, your next match, don't do that.
Right.
And I think I ended up getting submitted almost the exact same but not the same way. I didn't make the same mistake. I got trapped in something. But that was – so from that match, I was like, oh, I got into a dominant position, and I rushed it. Or I tried to do something else that I wasn't fully confident with, or whatever it may be. Like, it's just about – it's taking something from each one. But I by the end of it, I was like, oh, yeah, jiu-jitsu. Like, dude – just go out there and do jiu-jitsu.
Do
like
your jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And
by that time, like, the last loss that I had was 2-0.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, 2-0. And it was attempting a ton of takedowns. It was like, you know, rolling over here in this mat, pushing him over here to this one. Like, being like, so if I have that mentality first, that's all trying to. And that's why I wanted to, like, and not out of frustration, not out of disappointment, out of excitement, I wanted to sign up immediately. I want to sign up
next comp
as soon as I can,
Yeah.
Just because I want to go, I want to remember that mentality of like,
exactly.
Remember,
yep.
Take that and start out with that no matter where you are.
Right.
Everybody's here doing jiu-jitsu. We're right. All going to do slappy bumpy. We're going to shake our hand. You know, like.
Sure.
They're not trying to actually kill you, anything like that. Like, it's not a fear. It literally was just like a, oh, cool. Thanks for letting me be here. Like, yeah. No, I paid to be here.
Yeah, you did. Right.
And if anything, for the value, just the sheer, like, you spent money to be here. Just
sure.
Do your jiu-jitsu. You have fun doing that. And I had so much fun, even though I got the shit kicked out of me in a lot of cases. I had so much fun.
You didn't really.
But like legitimately actually getting roughed up.
You got
like
roughed up.
Way
yeah.
more than
yeah.
I would. I wouldn't have. I would have done things differently. But that's the thing is that's what the next competition
that's
is.
What next, exactly. You've got the next comp, right?
It's not about saying like, oh, I didn't do it right or I didn't do it. Yeah. Like, because that literally will do nothing.
It's exactly right. It's interesting because we talked a little bit about this before we decided that we were going to make this a topic of the podcast, and that, you know, it's that we have this idea that there's a certain level of negative self-talk that like keeps you in check, right? That motivates you to do better next time, right? But the science indicates, and I would agree with this, that none of that shit's helpful.
Right.
You don't need to, like, here's the thing. And this is just the way that I feel about it. And there's others that will disagree, and that's fine. I respect it. But I've been at comps where there was only two of us in our division. And if I won, they didn't want to take their second place medal because they're like, I didn't fucking win. I lost, right?
Right.
But my theory is that nobody else was out there fighting.
Right.
You were.
Yeah.
You fucking earned it. You trained for it. You got here. You paid your money. You warmed up. You got geared up. And then you came and you fought.
Right.
And so, yeah, you didn't win the match against me.
Yeah, why did you still compete? Like, that's the thing. You knew there was two people there. What if you would have won gold? Would you take gold?
Yeah, would you take the gold then? Right.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, like, and this is why I say to you guys, like, I think it's important, and for those that subscribe to this thinking, is that when you fight at jiu-jitsu competitions, and I'm speaking from the perspective of a casual competitor. I've been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time. I like competing. I do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I love it. I'm not like obsessively competing, but I like competing, and I've done a lot of it casually. You know, I'm not a professional. That's not my aim. But I can speak from that perspective that you're not fighting your opponent. You're fighting yourself.
Yeah.
And so if you went out and fought and did your best and gave your opponent like a good match, put your fucking medal on.
Yeah, and that's not just mindset stuff. Like we're saying, like that stuff, like you're,
yeah,
like, something you just, god damn it, something you just said. But you're, it's like when you say like be first,
yeah,
or stuff where it sounds like a weird like trope, like go out there and be first, like,
right?
No,
right.
You meant literally,
yeah, yeah.
Do something first,
right. Right.
To be the first one to take them down. Like,
take them down. Say it again. Say what
take
did I
them down.
Yeah. Okay. Now listen. Hey. Wait. I just want to say this. Wait, Pat. I want to stop you here for a second because we have a podcast listener who is critical of my statement that you can pull guard.
Okay. Yeah.
But I did say that I advocate for takedowns all the time. And what
that's
did
all
I?
You
what
were
am I? That's all I advocate
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
I almost never advocate for you guys to pull guard.
Right. Because no matter what, by the way, if you're pulling guard, you're taking them down.
That's right.
Like, by the way, that's like the trick to it is they're all fucking takedowns. Is to be first is to take them down to the ground because that's where jiu-jitsu happens.
Right. You got to initiate your move. Like
right.
Be the one that's first that says because then you are imposing your will on them.
I didn't think I had a will.
Right.
I didn't think
until
I had
you realize
a plan.
You did.
Right. It's literally
yeah.
because
yeah.
if you're not first, you're the person on the bottom.
Yeah.
You're underneath like
yeah.
first second and guess what first goes moosh 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 moosh.
Yeah
and if you're not first your game plan it doesn't mean anything then you're reacting
you're reactive not, versus proactive
right
that's right
so it's the thing where you'd say like you know go out there and be first and be fierce or something like that like
fierce.
No like it's
yeah,
it almost
yeah.
sounded like
yeah.
that like not that you weren't conveying it correctly my brain wasn't like thinking no Jeff's being literal
yeah yeah I
and
mean
saying,
literally go out there and be
go
first.
Out there and do stuff for and stuff like that where I am fighting myself
sure
comprehending what it is to compete and what not what everybody's like I said I didn't even know what to expect
sure
so I didn't bother with like worrying about all of the, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens?
You can't, right? All,
except for, by the way, I do realize this in hindsight. I think I fucked myself over. We were talking about superstitions in the last show.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Holy shit. I should
have
knocked
on
wood. I said, boy, oh boy, I hope I don't deal with a bunch of Lukes.
You did.
One of the mushers was a fucking power lifter.
you had some big dudes in your...
big boys. You know what I mean?
Some like, big boys in your
And I'm
division.
Like, man, oh man, that's exactly what happened. And yeah. Guess what happens when Luke is first?
Yeah. You're second.
I'm second. So, it, you know, but at the end of it, like, I was healthy. I was ready to go another 10 rounds.
Yeah,
like, I
yeah,
could go.
You guys, as like I said, I do commend, like, everybody's conditioning was really, really top notch. Right. I was really pleased with that.
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's one of my favorite. I love that song.
It's the most accurate. Like, that's the thing I should have been listening on my headphones all day. It's like, don't be dumb. You know, just go out there and be first.
Yeah, be
literally.
First. Yeah, go get them. Yeah,
go get them.
Go show them your jiu-jitsu.
Because, like, once you start pushing them around, then they go, they're down, and you're not necessarily on the bottom.
But here's the thing. Like, at the end of this is, like, the tournament is this small period of time in your whole jiu-jitsu journey. You guys worked really hard for that, like, to get to that point. We did comp training. Guys have been in class every day. Like, you were ready to go. And once that's over, where are you going to go? You're going to go back to class, and you're going to start training again. Like, the aim is just to get better at jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And the best way for you to figure out where you kind of stand in that realm is to go to competition.
Go out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, to go out of your comfort zone. And now, listen, I'm not saying that everybody needs to compete. Some people don't want to compete. They don't feel it's necessary, don't like it, don't want to do it. Totally cool.
That's not the only way to get better at jiu-jitsu.
No, not at all. But if you want to get better quicker, go compete. Here's the thing. When you start looking at high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitions, these comps are won off of three or four techniques that are set up in a sequence that can go in any order.
Yeah.
But it's not like – it's not 1,000 techniques.
Yeah.
It's three or four techniques, and they win every time because that's their plan. They're going to impose their will. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that they know that they're – it's their A game, and they know they get everybody with this at the gym and in comp training. They're going to go to comp, and you, as their competitor, have never seen them.
Right.
You know, and you know, like, you don't have no idea what they're going to do, and they are first.
Yep.
And now you're in their
– now you're playing their game plan.
It's exactly.
That's
and you're
the
in
physical,
their territory.
Yeah, that's
right.
The literal translation of what you had been instilling in us.
Yeah.
And not that – again, not for lack in teaching. It's lack in understanding and experience from my end.
It's always things that we can improve, both of us, like teaching and
but
learning.
But the things that were clicking, that were there, were all in your voice. They're all in the things that you have said or rung true, like, in that sense, because my game plan worked too. When I was able to enact my game plan, it stopped them in their tracks. I wasn't able to advance with it. But it was one of those things of like, stop your game plan, mister.
You proved to yourself that like your jiu-jitsu is worthy, and that's the big point. The most important thing is to remember that you deserve to be on that mat.
Right.
You're not a tourist.
Right.
You paid your money, okay? And for the value in your dollars, like I can say with a certainty, you can get as much up to like 6 months of training in one competition day. And that's knowledge that doesn't come to you right away, but it will come over time. You'll recognize that the things that you learned in that one day of competing is equivalent to 6 months of training just on regular class time. I watch you guys roll. I watch you guys compete. And I gotta tell you, I'm always super impressed.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying so.
Yeah, we just have a great crew with our class, and the people that roll there they're tough. They're technical. So, because, I mean, sometimes tough is enough, but it's usually not. Not in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You got to be technical, too.
Right.
And so when we have that nice combination of technical and tough, and that they appreciate that, like, their goal is to get better at Jiu-Jitsu, and that's what they focus on, mm-hmm. then, you know, what I have is a class full of winners. You know, like, I have people that, like, come in and understand that like, there are things that they know, things that they don't know, things that they want to know, and... blam, they fucking go at it, man, and I love it, man.
Yeah, and having that game plan or having expectations or having something like that, like, play out is definitely it's exciting because going into that first competition, if you don't know what to expect or you do feel like a tourist or anything like that, it's kind of jumbled. You're excited, but you don't know why.
Sure.
You do all this other stuff. And then if you don't have the type of – like, again, I didn't have an expectation for the outcome.
Sure.
Obviously, I was saying, like, yeah, I want to fucking win gold. I'm going there to
win. Sure, you want to win. Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, you shouldn't go to comp without wanting to win.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Like, but that doesn't mean everything. All that means is I don't get my Dunkaroos. So – that's just for the next. That's why I want to get in that next competition. That fucking box is still on top of my fridge.
That's right. You want those Dunkaroos.
I want those Dunkaroos. And, yeah. And Jeff, I also found I like to deprive myself of things.
Okay.
It motivates me more.
So
it helps
right.
me focus on other things. And definitely, after the experience of having a competition at that level, I feel more like I now have stuff to expect in my next one.
Sure.
I have expectations of, all right, so how, hopefully I see a couple of these people again, which I, you
probably
know, you said
will.
Before I will,
yeah.
But like, hopefully they'll be at that one as well. And hopefully I get to see how I even compare to their skill level to this point.
Sure.
Not that it's going to be the end all be all. I'm comparing myself to myself, but
you should.
How do I do against
sure.
another six matches, or maybe next time, maybe it's 12.
Right, and a lot of times too, it's important to remember too that a lot of times it's just that it was their day.
Yeah.
And they executed, and they get to win. And next time you meet them, you might beat them, and then it was your day.
Right.
You know, it just that's how it goes, and right. that's competition. The cool part is that like if your aim is just to get better at jiu-jitsu, which it should be. Then you have lots of opportunity to continue doing that,
right?
And growing from there. And I admire the competitors that like don't always win, you know, and that go out there and fight anyway because they're always trying to measure and put their stuff out.
Yeah.
It's like okay, I like it. Here's why I like it, is because you went to your studio, right, and you worked on your work. You worked on your artwork, mm-hmm. okay. And going to competition means you're willing to share it with the world.
Right.
You're willing to put it out there and let other people see it and criticize it and analyze it and determine if they like it or not. I appreciate that. As
right.
an artist, I appreciate
so this is,
competitors.
This is something that I was just making a note of. I didn't want to forget. You were saying the people that share their accomplishments and everything like that.
What
like,
the fuck?
Hey. Settle. Hey.
Oh, you got it in the can. Right in the old bottle.
But the people that share their accomplishments and stuff like that you were just talking about, I think it's people that compete and also only show if they are successful.
Right.
Share it. You're competed.
I agree.
Like the act of competing is the success. Like
agreed.
Yeah, and that's not just that's not just a saying. That's like literally, if you're only going out there and saying, oh, which got gold, got silver, only got whatever. Like, I was sharing my experience from that day no matter what because that was – and I'm not saying that to openly criticize. If you don't feel like going like, didn't do anything good, I felt like – if that's truly how you feel, just know that you didn't fail.
I think
you
that's
succeeded by competing.
Exactly. I think sharing in your experience is the success.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, there's a variety of people that we're associated with in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu who talk about their losses a lot. And I won't mention them by name just because it's the podcast and I didn't get their permission to do so. But I always admire them for doing it.
Yeah.
Because it shows a lot of heart. And
right.
that's the thing that I really appreciate.
Yeah, because we touch on it a bit and we joke about it, but we're also serious a lot of times about being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like how that can be a sense of toughness as well, of like being like, look, it doesn't mean and because it people think it's so tough. Like it's the way people talk about when I say like I do stand up or something, they're like, "Oh, I could never talk in front of people." Like,
sure.
I don't fucking care. I just don't have that part. I realize that people are different sometimes and they have that different part of their brain. But it's literally just – it's being vulnerable, but it's so easy because it's like it happened.
Well, it did. Right.
It happened. And look, you're talking about – like you living to fight another day in literal form
it
happening
is.
In front of everybody.
It is 100%
true. I lost a bunch of matches and I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like.
Right.
Even if I did pay and I got eliminated right away, it's
look, Ben,
how
yeah,
are you going to stop it next time?
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, it's important to note that like there's a time. First of all, if you're not a black belt, nobody gives a fuck.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's watching your match.
Yeah. Nobody
your
cares.
Family.
That's right.
Yeah.
And even then, even they are watching it begrudgingly.
They're on Instagram. They're scrolling.
I have no idea what's going on. They're right. Like yeah.
I think he's doing well. I couldn't see the. That's what Dom kept saying. She's like, I wanted to kick the people that were on top of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't do that. Yeah. And also, she's like, I couldn't tell. It's like that's the thing. She couldn't tell if it
who
was
winning
or
and losing.
Yeah. She's
right.
like, he's
nobody
not
knows.
Really doing anything, but also like,
yeah.
he's not really getting hurt. So
yeah.
it's like,
so it looks good to me.
What's going on? I don't know. What's is
no
he
idea.
Even doing anything? The guy's
yeah.
not moving.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Nobody gives a fuck. And
I was like, that's a success.
Yeah, yeah
kind
yeah.
of.
And most tournaments, most local tournaments, and so forth. Like, it doesn't even matter if you're a black belt. Nobody gives a shit.
Right.
So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Notice that, like, you're just doing this to get better at jiu-jitsu. Again, yeah. this is like, this is the whole point.
The pressure is off.
Yeah, the pressure's off. Like, nobody cares. And it's equally important for you to understand that, like, for a lot of people who's casual and competition, casual competitors, is that, like, we all have, like, these periods where we lose a lot.
Yeah.
We just don't, I'm one of them. I did not start winning until I did.
Right. Yeah.
Which was about purple belt.
Yeah, and guess what? That's what happens.
Yeah. And it didn't mean that I didn't win matches here and there and
right.
feel good about myself. But like, yeah, there were times where like I, you know, where I was really close.
Yeah. But didn't.
But didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the point was.
And
is
then
that
you stopped
like,
doing jiu-jitsu, right?
Right. I quit.
Yeah. I went out, bought a black belt and started teaching.
You know, I think that. No, and actually, I'm hoping to compete here again soon.
Hell
the
yeah.
last time I went to compete, like, they canceled my division, which
I'll
pissed me
I'll come coach
off.
You if you need me to.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I'll remind you what time it is.
Yeah, I appreciate
Jeff,
it.
Jeff, you have 5 minutes to do
something.
I can't tell.
Do
Dom,
jiu-jitsu.
Do you want Dom to come out and kick him?
Yeah, look, Dom, if they get on top of me, come out here and kick him.
Kick him, yeah. yeah. Just don't miss.
Don't miss, Jesus Christ.
Don't miss. If you're going to kick a black belt, don't miss.
Yeah, they're going to be mad at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't allow cups, by the way, so maybe not the face.
That's a little bit going to be too close to me, I think.
You know.
At any rate.
Collateral damage.
It happens. I think the point that you're making, though, is really a valid one, and that is like, you should be okay. If you're not sharing it with everybody, that's fine, but at least share it with yourself. Be comfortable with yourself to know that nobody else was out there fighting. You did it.
Right.
You're the one that prepared for it. You're the one that went out there and fought. There's lots of people that say they're going to and don't show up. Everybody that's ever been to comp knows this. Injuries notwithstanding, there are plenty of injuries that happen as a result of getting
Absolutely.
Ready for comp. But for the people that don't show up, that just at the day of are like, I'm scared and I'm not going, you remember you were scared too and you went.
Right. Yeah.
So you're a fucking champ,
that's
man.
And
that's bravery.
And it's not blowing smoke up your ass. It's not anything. It's literally you showed up to fight strangers.
Yeah. And I'm not even criticizing the people that were like, I'm not going.
Right.
Right.
Even just the fact that you were scared to or nervous to do something and did it. Put
it's
yourself
scared.
Out there. But it's, I mean, but what, however you want to even put it. I'm a fucking scared.
It was
I'm a fucking scared.
It was scared.
Yeah, you were scared.
You're scared.
Pussy. Which is not, it's not even like, so what? Yeah.
It's scary.
I guess what? I was fucking scared.
Yeah, it's scary.
I was scared that I was going to get a bunch of Lukes, and then I did, and then I fought them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And once it's on, it's on.
It's
like,
on.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Grab him by the goddamn collar and be fucking first.
And be first.
Idiot. Sorry, sorry, that's me. That's me in my own head. I'm coaching myself now. 3 minutes, Pat.
I'm gonna end this segment like this, and that is when you like for a lot of the high level competitions, whether it's submission only or IBJJF, and which is the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, it's single elimination. At the beginning of that tournament, at the beginning of the tournament, at the end of that day, 50% of the competitors are going home.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Like, that doesn't mean that, like, of those 50%, all those 50% sucked at jiu-jitsu. No, they just got beat.
They weren't the other 50%.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
And so you go back to the gym, or the lab, as I like to say it, and you get back to work.
Yeah.
Like, it happens. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. And you want it to be you.
Yeah.
So you train so that happens. But if it doesn't,
And I will suggest this. If I can give any of my expertise from competing already, I do suggest...
You may not.
Just essentially do a round robin. If one or two your first competition should be a round robin, because I feel like you can get a lot of your suck out real soon.
Well, you know,
you get a lot of your shitty matches out.
I think there's pros and cons to each of it. The worst one is that, like, after you've won a couple of matches and then realize that you still have, like,
hey, it's like baptism by jujitsu. You know what I mean? If you're going in there, you want to do jujitsu competition? All right, how about all day, bitch?
How about
all no matter win or lose.
Yeah, right. You can keep winning. You still have to keep going.
Yeah, even if you lose, you still could go up to this many times. Like, so have fun.
I like it.
But we should actually move on.
Okay, let's move on.
What's been on your turntable?
I was so hoping you would ask me.
Oh, really?
I was. Even though I know it's a predictable segment in our podcast.
I was hoping you would bring up the segment that we do every week.
On my turntable right now is Nick Curran and the Lowlifes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, Nick passed away in 2012 from throat cancer. Not a smoker, by the way.
That sucks.
He had a couple year battle with it. He was only 35 when he died.
Wow, jeez. And you said he was a singer?
Oh, singer and guitar player.
Wow.
He had an amazing voice. Listen, I want you guys to and you can, like, Nick Curran, he also has a band. He had a band called, there's a variety of Nick Curran records. Just look up, there's the Nightlifes, there's the Lowlifes. The Lowlifes was his final iteration of the band, and it's fucking hot.
You said Highlifes and Lowlifes?
The Nightlifes.
Oh, Nightlifes.
And then the Lowlifes. The Lowlifes was his final iteration of the band, where he's always, like, trying to, like, toy with a huge, huge proponent of blues, R&B, rockabilly, punk rock and roll.
Nice.
He always had in my definition, he was dirty R&B. Okay.
Okay.
Just
all right, yeah.
Fucking amazing at it. But listen, like, go and listen to Nick Curran and the Lowlifes. It's NickCurran. And hopefully I pronounce his last name correctly. I had the pleasure of seeing him live on several occasions before he passed. We actually, I was born on September 19th, 1977, and he was born on September 30th, 1977.
Oh, wow.
So nice. We were the same age. Super, super talented musician. If you guys get a chance to listen to him, it'll blow your freaking mind. So I'm a huge, by the way, I'm a huge R&B fan. Like, old R&B.
Yeah. Like, so dirty R&B, do you mean like indie?
Older. No,
like dirty, like, I'm gonna light you down and
there's no fucking in the ass. When you
you don't like that R&B song?
Dirty refers to the sound.
Okay. Oh, like,
not the,
like,
content.
Dirty.
Yeah, like, yeah. D-U-R. It's like really.
Got it.
Look, there's a whole level, like, I'm not talking about rhythm and blues, like popular rhythm and blues. I'm talking about old school rhythm and blues. Where, like, the sound is just so raw and it's so rough. Like, just really good shit. It's basically rock and roll.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Like, early,
this stuff,
early
yeah,
on rock and roll.
Yeah, this stuff came about, like, right before rock and roll was a thing. And so, like, and you could hear it. And that's what's great about it, is that you can hear it's coming to a pinnacle, and that pinnacle is going to be rock and roll, right? It's like you have to vomit really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or pee.
Like, dirty R&B is like the dry heaving.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because it has the guttural, like the...
It does. It does. Like, yes, kinda, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah,
yeah, that's a really good... Actually, that's a very good way to explain
it. Visual metaphor.
I'm sure he appreciates it, too. Yeah. It should be Nick Curran and the dry heaves.
So... So here's the Nick and the Lowlifes, man. It's a great, great. There's not a lot. There's not. You don't. I actually have a couple of signed records from him. By the
way.
Yeah, which is awesome. But
worth a little bit of scratch.
Yeah, I saw it on eBay for like $7.53.
Ooh, that's a $3 profit.
And
my
bought it for $4.
That's all profit.
Who's the
after shipping? That's all profit, pal.
Who's the winner?
Who's the winner now? Okay. I knew the guy.
Yeah, so Nick Curran and the Lowlifes.
That's mine is not as much of a. We've talked about them. I don't even know if we talked about them on the show before, but we've talked about them personally plenty of times. What's on my turntable?
Yeah.
Bouncing Souls.
Oh, the Bouncing Souls.
The Bouncing Souls.
Bouncing Souls.
It's hard
fucking
not to say
New Jersey merches.
We were talking about them. I don't think it was on the show last time, but
no, it was post show.
Okay,
yeah.
So we were talking about them after the fact, and I was saying where I kind of lost them at a point in my life, like
sure.
Where they kind of I
you stopped listening to them.
I stopped listening
aggressively
to them because yeah. I felt like they had changed or whatever, and I just realized that. It wasn't as... what is going on with you today,
yeah,
Stanley?
What is with you, Stanley?
You are acting a fool today, brother.
You're
hey.
Obnoxious.
Hey,
no, this
get
isn't
over here.
For you. Get out of here.
Hey.
Scram.
But I was talking to you last week about the Bouncing Souls and like the fact that I hadn't revisited a lot of them.
Sure.
They particularly, I will personally suggest an album of theirs that I've revisited and changed my tune on, Anchors Away.
Anchors Away, yeah.
That's a
yeah.
good fucking album.
It is a good fucking record.
Almost every one of the songs, when they start out, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, this is the one that, this is where they lose me. And then by the end of the song, I'm fucking into it.
Yeah, yeah, because it's fucking good.
I'm not only into it, but I'm like, this sounds just like Bouncing Souls. Why didn't I?
It's just where you were in life, man, at the time.
It's
you
like
know?
It's like that's... they changed their intros. That's yeah. all they did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they were, but it's really fucking good. Like you
it's
cannot,
great.
You cannot listen to Highway Kings and be like, "This changed my life."
Yeah,
this is me.
So
yeah.
if there is, and not just the Bouncing Souls is the recommendation this week, but if there is an album like that for you, if there's a band that you liked a lot and you like, oh, I like this album, but then they fucking lost me.
I agree with you, man.
Go
yeah.
back. Go
100%.
Back and check it out. Because most likely you were either wrong then.
You were wrong. You were wrong.
Or your taste has shifted and or grown and your musical, your artistic palette has matured.
I agree
you
with
should
you,
check
man.
It out.
And I agree with that 100%. And I think that's the best message for that is if you are that person that like at the time, because we were all like that. We were all like, ugh, I like their old stuff better.
Fucking sellouts.
Yeah, sellouts.
Always
right.
a sellout.
Yeah, yeah, always a sellout. Right. Even though, for instance, the Bouncing Souls, as an example, is always done it themselves.
Yeah.
That was their whole thing.
So I'm excited
and they're good records.
To continue delving down that road because I kind of disconnected from them
sure.
with Anchors Away. Not that I stopped listening to the stuff I was listening to.
No, right, I know.
But you didn't go past that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to continue
that's
my,
awesome,
my
man.
Journey down
good
the Bouncing Souls track.
Yeah, we encourage everybody else too out there that like maybe abandon a group or a band
right.
that you like were like, oh, I used to like their old stuff. Try listening to their new listen to what like what they've done for you.
Unless
like,
it's Chris Gaines. We were all right.
Yeah. Everybody was correct on that one.
That emo fuck.
Awesome.
But Jeff, there's another little ditty I like to sing for you if you don't mind.
Please, by all
it's
means.
It's called "Ask a Black Man." From a guy that you again he's a frequent questioner.
Frequent questioner.
He likes to question you a lot,
he
my friend.
He does have a lot of questions.
Robert D's asking
Robert,
are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I am. At all times.
Always. Listener Joseph Stetter.
Joe Stetter?
Heard of him?
I think I have heard of him.
This fella asks, if you were in an accident and had amnesia, you lost all memory of training and from the past. Would you go back and to being a white belt and start jiu-jitsu all over again, or would you start another life adventure?
Fuck, man, that is a great question.
Right? And I actually even – I found out if I write it out, I read it better.
Now, here's – I have a question. I know you shouldn't answer a question with a question, but the question I have is if you have amnesia and you return to your former self.
I thought of that too.
Do you still retain?
I'm thinking in this scenario, like you got an injury, something
yeah.
happened, like where you got
yeah.
a head injury, Flintstone style.
Right.
And you're everything, you remember everything except for like one part of it. Like, you know, like old sitcom style where you're
sure.
like, I remember that I work here, that I do this, whatever,
yeah.
or something like that. But you just, for some reason, all of your training and stuff like that, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say even your knowledge of even your fighting. Let's say all of your combat sports history and training has left you.
Right.
Would you, no, if like when you came back and people were like, yeah, you were a fucking black belt at jiu-jitsu, would you restart? And that makes it even harder of a question because you're like, oh, shit, everything, you're still.
Right.
Your
Do
business.
I go back to, yeah. Now, family. Here's the funny thing, and Joe, he's going to know. I think he probably has a good idea what my answer is going to be. But it might be shocking, and that is I'll start as a white belt, and I'll go back to it.
Not as shocking as you think. I thought that.
I look at it like this, so I'm 44. Fuck me.
You want me to cut that out?
No. I'm 44,
I'm
so.
Beep.
So I'm 44. If you know, on average, it takes about 10 years to get your black belt. So if I'm 54 and I get my black belt,
yeah,
I'd start over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just something that I really, there's something about jiu-jitsu, and I was just talking about this with a couple of other, you know, my other friends and students here at Harrisburg Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo, and after class, is that, like, I don't know why it is the way that it is, but after almost 15 years, like, I'm at 14 years and whatever, however many months, that I've been doing some form of, like, martial arts and always Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'm still not sick of it.
Right.
A little bit. I'm not sick of it. And I know people that do get sick of it, and that's cool. Like, it's fine. You're done, and you want to move on to something else. Totally get it.
Right. There's no judgment.
I'm just not.
Right. So, guess what?
Yeah.
Amnesia or not, it's going to be like, hey, can I get back to that thing? I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that my mind will point me in that. Like, my mind and my body will point me in that direction, and I'll go back to Brazilian
right.
Jiu-Jitsu. My bigger concern is that Joe would get to me before everybody else, and he'd be like, oh, you were a gay porn actor. And I'm like, fuck.
Okay,
I guess I'm a gay porn actor.
That's what my body was wants.
Was I any good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to need a lot of work to get there.
Let me help you.
I can only assume that's what Luke was doing in the last class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, he forgot his shirt.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the show.
That's a hurt eye, too. That hurts a lot to do that.
Oh, Jeff, this has been a great. I hope you're in a better mood. I hope you had a better day.
Dude, it was like there was nowhere to go but up.
Honestly. Also will contribute it. Usually you have about 3 beers per show. Are you sure it's not the beer that makes you happy?
I'm 100% positive it is the beer that makes me happier.
I'm just putting that together.
Which is why I'm drinking them.
Hey.
Hey.
So if you want to watch Jeff drink a beer, make sure you check out the video version of the show on YouTube at Baby Mermaid Productions YouTube channel. Make sure you hit subscribe, you like, you hit the little bell for notifications because there's other shows that come out on the channel.
That's right. I'm going to be drinking these the entire episode.
He's going to be drinking them every time. And he drinks about 4 or 5 later
after
the show.
You can't see them because they're camouflaged.
I pull him downstairs and then I put him in his car. He sleeps for a couple hours, usually wakes up around.
Fuck no, dude. I drive home like that.
With Kyle Cooler filled with his
empties. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Empties. Right. In the front seat.
Like, subscribe, tell your friends, and
don't piss yourself.
Don't piss yourself.